Congressman, you were caught in traffic. If you built that damn tunnel, you'd have been here by now.
You're absolutely right, Dan. I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, it's interesting you say that. Just this week, we were out at a couple of stops where we talked about the tunnel. We do this routinely. And last night I was at the Weathersfield Democratic Town Committee, and on Wednesday we were out at the Bank of America in Farmington. And especially for all the commuters that have to use this, it's not just a tunnel, as you might imagine. It's also the repurposing of the three bridges going into Hartford, too. Well, Brad will remember this, what they once were. They were once these unbelievable boulevards.
Right.
In fact, the Connecticut Boulevard in East Hartford went from East Hartford to West Hartford.
That's right. Know?
And we really think that, especially given the design, and most of it historically, somewhat a little bit mythical, Beatrice Fox Orbach probably had more to do where the 91 and 84 interchange are located than any engineer or planner and designer. And you know how we have to deal with what is commonly referred to as the Etna Viaduct.
Yep.
And that has placed this huge cavern and divided North and South Hartford and an eight-lane highway between the Etna, the Hartford, St. Francis, and, of course, Mount Sinai and all of the North End. So our goal was to look at seeing both dividing that, but then more critically, I don't think enough of the public, I know you do, Brad, know the critical danger that our levees are in, not from topping over in the event of a 100-year storm, but the very thing that caused the destruction in the Ninth Ward in New Orleans is happening here. It's called sandpiping, and it's this seepage that boils up and ultimately collapses the dike from underneath. The Army Corps has identified this problem. Actually, the MDC has identified this problem. And so we felt the way to address the whole issue is to come up with a 100-year vision that would allow us the opportunity to put the flow-through traffic, of which it's about 50 to 60% of vehicles that are never stopping in Hartford. They're on their way to another destination, but they clog up all of those arteries going in there in both East Hartford and Hartford.
100 years.
A 100-year vision.
Right.
And what this would do, much like the Buckley Bridge was when it was first built. I don't know how many people realize that in 1905, that was and continues to be the largest stone arch bridge in the world.
Wow.
So,
I didn't know that.
And, and look at, they're gonna have to expand that also to accommodate what they're currently looking at in the repair of the Etna Viaduct. So we said, doesn't it make more sense to align 84 the way it should have been from Robert Street in East Hartford out to Flatbush Avenue instead of that circuitous route you take through Hartford and dividing the city? It's a direct shot, and we think ultimately very tollable, especially with today's technology where you wouldn't even have to stop. It would be far easier for someone getting in the car in West Hartford headed to Boston to travel a straight line from Flatbush to Robert Street, albeit what we're planning to do is to go 70 feet under the ground in what engineers refer to as Jurassic basalt. The irony here, both under the riverbed and going from east to west under the river and along 84, the very Jurassic basalt that we would use, we'd be able to put behind the levees to deal with the sandpiping issue that we face. So we think that this is a long-term vision, and the economic development that will happen because of this. First, the city that is no longer divided, and then two cities that get united to the riverfront. That has been a long-time vision of riverfront recapture for more than 100 years. And when you look at the cost of what DOT is currently doing and what they have to apply to the federal government for, which they haven't done yet, it's going to work out in phases to be about $10 billion.
What would this cost?
About $10 billion.
Because critics are out there saying that that is a low-ball cost, that $10 billion.
Well, let me give you a perfect example. Right now, as we speak, the MDC is in the process of drilling a 4.5-mile tunnel from West Hartford to the South Meadow. Their projection for that tunnel, albeit 20 feet in diameter, but 120 feet underground, is going to be, and they've already got the hard cost for this, $228 million. Now, this would be 60 feet in diameter because you're going to have to take in, you know, four lanes of highway here when you're dealing with the tunnel like this. However, we think that the cost estimates, you know, Chuck Sheehan has said to me that they might be a little high, but they, he said, I would rather have them high than come in and say, oh, no, these are the cost overruns. And that includes not just the tunnels, but then having to repurpose those bridges.
Right.
We took a whole group of people down to the federal DOT back in January, a lot of stakeholders, people from CROG, people from both East Hartford and Hartford, people from the Department of Transportation, to look at some of the other avenues besides traditional bonding that we could use, obviously. And I think this is critical. Tolling, certainly, we would be eligible for that. A lot of people said, well, we won't be eligible for that because of other projects. Not the case whatsoever. This project,
you're definite about this. We would be
eligible for tolls.
Yes, I am. Yeah. I am. I think that this is absolutely the way for us to go. And I'll tell you why. When you look at the, and I'll come in and give you more detailed. Every time I finish a conversation like this in public, everyone looks at me and says, well, why aren't we doing it? And to be fair to the DOT, what they were given as an assignment was to fix the Aetna Viaduct, not to come up with a tunnel solution for both for the 91-84 tunnel. They now have taken this on because we've had so many, the Travelers, the Hartford, the Aetna, St. Francis, the Chamber of Commerce in Hartford, the Chamber of Commerce east of the river, CROG, Bank of America now is writing in. Every group, the person who led the band on this, Jim Webster, as soon as he heard about it, he said to me, you know what? Have you any idea the economic development that will result from this? I was with Catherine Smith last night at an event for Carlos Squatrito, who you know.
Yep.
And she said, look, yeah, we would like to do those REMI studies. A REMI study being what will be the economic development that will ensue on both banks of the river, but all along that viaduct corridor, because a lot of that excess cement and highway will be taken down. And in East Hartford, we lose the Mixmaster, which is the size equivalent to all of downtown Hartford.
Wow.
And so the economic development that will ensue here, we think will more than offset that. But the DOT doesn't, you know, they don't want to hear about future economic development. What they want to hear is how you're going to pay for it. And that's why I believe that tolling, we're the only New England state, aside from Vermont, that doesn't, which means this, Dan. We essentially subsidize everybody else, and everybody drives through us. And the pass-through traffic in a city of 130 million people is 224,000 vehicles go through that interchange daily. You know how many vehicles go over the George Washington Bridge daily?
Yeah, how many?
324,000.
Wow.
In a city of 11 million people.
That's astounding. Wow.
That's how crammed up this is, and what this will do and relieve, and it will allow us to link intermodally in a way that, you know, well, you know where the civics, and I wish I had the slides with me, so a picture's worth a thousand words, and the DOT has done a great job of showing what it looks like now, what it would look like if we had the tunnels there, and the access to the river. And the and, you know, currently the convention center, we were at the Marriott last night.
Could you, because we have a traffic report coming up.
Speaking of traffic.
Of course, everything is about the roads of the future. We don't like to think about these things. We won't be around, but thousands
will.
Well,
I don't know. Will we be around?
Well, I think Brad will be around for sure, but I'm not so sure about you and I, Dan, but Brad. No, this will take anywhere from 8 to 15 years, depending upon what they run into when they're doing it. But the good news is, A, we have the MDC that is already in the process is doing this. In fact, their Big Bertha or their bore or whatever they're going to use to drill is coming in this August, and maybe can go out there with us and see if we want to be there just to see all this. We've been to the initial digging, and that's why we know that this is doable. Also, the guy from who has developed TELSA, and very big into batteries, Elon Musk.
Oh, Elon Musk, yeah.
You know, he's talking about vertical solutions for a lot of areas that will better help with respect to pollution, better help with livable communities, and in the final analysis, more cost-effective. The difference in the two proposals that we're looking at right now is that when we're through with our project, a turnkey operation that where you don't have to, you know, poor Mayor Bronin, he can't afford to have his city shut down for 2.5 years. Well, you both have a reunited Hartford with repurposed boulevards over repurposed bridge, and you recapture the river and refortify the levees, all of which are critical issues for both sides of the river. And this will transform the city, and it'll do it in a way that people are, we're already getting calls and developers licking their chops and saying the same thing. Is this really going to happen?
Okay, so let's crystallize this. First of all, we I think all agree something needs to be done.
No question.
That's the first thing. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. The second thing is what you're saying is this plan would allow for the current I-84, I-91 interchange to remain in place as this massive project is undertaken.
Correct.
That's big, too.
Well, it is big because you won't have to shut down the city and think of it as a turnkey operation, and everything that's going on is 70 feet underground.
Yeah.
Including, and you would have to, if we had the map here, it'd be easy to show you, the interchange for 84 and 91 would be under Colts Park, 70 feet underground.
Wow.
And, but it would be more aligned with where the Charter Oak with. But imagine if you were coming from West Hartford. You know when you get to Flatbush?
Yeah.
You would go into the tunnel there. And in essence, because you can see Trinity up on the ridge, you would be in a tunnel. You would come out just before UTC, where we have, you know, a $500 million investment by the state, $500 million by UTC. I'm going there for a ribbon cutting later today at UTRC. What a great story that is. So we will be able to have that flow of traffic there that will be easier and pass through without looping around. It would also lead to further developing along Route 2, awesome. 5, and 15.
We're going to take our news. I'm going to continue the conversation.
I wanted to just also give a plug here to the Department of Transportation, because oftentimes, you know, they're given an assignment, you know, and their assignment was this Aetna Viaduct is crumbling and you've got to fix it and repair it. And what kind of studies would you, can you do first to show that and then come up with the alternative planning? So it wasn't as though they were looking at the interchange and this. And they clearly weren't looking at the levees. That's not their providence. That's the Army Corps of Engineers. So we added in this thing, and why? Because we spent 14 years getting Coltsville named a National Historic Park.
Now, 14 years?
14 years. Mayor Mike was the mayor.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's how long some of these things can take. And you talk about bureaucracy and the big parks versus the small parks, et cetera. But worked across the aisle with Rob Bishop from Utah. Very little in common with, you know, the, you know, Bryce Canyon and all the wonderful monuments out there. But he really saw, you know, how important Coltsville was. But imagine we had a National Historic Park separated by an 8-lane federal highway, separated by federally initiated but then turned over to the towns and state levies, separated by a National Heritage River and the only Blue Ways River federally designated in the country, the Connecticut River. So we felt we had on that case alone, look, let's drop the highway in that area so we can connect the national park to the riverfront, a goal of riverfront recapture.
Right.
But when the whole interchange idea came in and when we were looking at the cost of the viaduct, that said, wow, wouldn't this make sense if we went underground from Flatbush out to Robert Street and from approximately where the Hartford landfill is down to where the MDC is in the South Meadows.
Right.
And the other thing, Dan, the jobs that come from this. I mean,
Big time, huh?
The construction jobs, the engineering jobs, the design, and then all of the economic development. It'll be work, and, you know, we're presenting, we presented to the carpenters, we're going to be presenting to the Hartford Trade Council, et cetera. I haven't been in front of a group, and believe me, people are skeptical when they first hear it. They'll go, oh, my God, another big dig. Well, look at what the big dig's done in Boston, and look at how much more we know today and where the technology right. is. And the fact that we're going to have a pilot, we're going to have someone who this summer starts doing that mm-hmm. in the MDC. So, yeah, I'm really excited about it. We're going to have Chairman Schuster up here, the Republican chairman, who's been terrific on infrastructure. And as he always says, and I like to quote him, he says, look, infrastructure isn't Democrat or Republican. It's American.
No question
about that. We really need to do this to put the country to work. And wouldn't it be grand to get everybody working together on something that is going to have a constructive goal achieved at the end of it? Yeah. And that's why we're so bullish.
Guess who's calling?
Who do we have?
Dr. Richard Fitchman.
All right.
Well, on the phone.
All right.
John, put the earphones on.
Yeah.
There you go so you can hear him. Dr. Fitchman, good morning. Good morning.
Dr. Fitchman, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Is he there? We don't hear him.
We don't hear him.
Nope. Don't know where he is.
Where is he? Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Dr. Fitchman, go ahead.
Go ahead, doctor.
Hello. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
Go ahead.
Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Fitchman.
Good. You know, I don't know if you know it, but I try to do some work in the north end of Hartford in the upper Albany area, and I congratulate you on all the things that you're talking about. One of the things that I would love to see is some job training for the folks in my neighborhood.
Absolutely.
So that when these jobs come about, they'll be able to participate in that.
Well, doctor, I don't know if you know this, but last year we had a whole group come down from North Hartford. So that they would have, led by Steve Harris, former councilman there, who's one of my dear friends, but Andrew Woods and others who came down from the North Hartford with this goal in mind, and so that we could introduce them to all the various agencies, because when you apply for grants and you're trying to get a grant written, oftentimes, and we've been fortunate to get a lot of grants in this area, but sometimes they're not going directly to the people that need them the most. And as we talk about this project, to your point, we've said this both to the laborers and to the people. We need to make sure that the people who are living in and around where the activity, meaning the construction, is taking place, get both the training, learn a trade, or are able to make that transition from education to work, or from being unemployed to having a job and going through the training. So I'm pleased that the laborers are both excited about this. Goodwin College that we afford mentioned also is terrific at taking and training people, as are our community colleges. But
you know, doctor,
it's a very specific thing, doctor. And thank you. I know of you by reputation from just talking to the people in North Hartford about your great works.
Doctor, you know something, and this is something that you can get me a little bit upset about. You don't talk about yourself and what you're doing. And let me tell the audience this. It is amazing. You were raised in that area. Your dad had a store. You have put one of your offices in that area. And right now, and we talk about it a lot, you're in the process of getting kids into college. You want to, and it's all through that one of your many locations. And I just think, Congressman, it's just tremendous to have, you know, to have somebody like yourself that can work with the doctor in some of the things that you do in that part of the city.
Well, doctor, I also try to reach across the aisle, and actually we have a bill currently that we're working on. You know, of course, that North Hartford was named an enterprise zone, and what we're working on in terms of legislation is saying for every company that locates in an enterprise zone, we would give them a tax incentive to hire someone from the zone. And companies outside of the zone, we'd also give them a tax break to hire people from the area and help them with the training that they need to succeed by either getting that through one of our community colleges or from a college like Goodwin College that makes it easily accessible, and then hopefully helps them in the transition from education or from out of work to work.
Well, first of all, Brad, please don't talk about me anymore, because the story is really not about me. It's about the people in the North.
I know, but I have to talk about you because you have done these things. That's why I do.
Not important. I do sit on some boards, one of them Blue Hills Civic Association, which I think I'm donating a building to them on Homestead Avenue to be able to ramp up their efforts. They do a tremendous job with youth employment, and I think they would be very nicely dovetail with this, because the problem is, even though these things sound like they work, they don't really work as well as they should. And I think the magic sauce in America, and I'll leave you with this, Congressman, we take care of our most vulnerable citizens, and at least in the greater Hartford region, they reside in the area I'm talking about, and they are desperate for work, and they're really nice people, because they come into my office all the time. I meet them, grandparents, parents, kids, a lot of love, a lot of respect. A lot of God-fearing people that just need jobs, and I would love if somebody would reach out to me and see if we could actually get these things going. I don't think it would cost much, and I think you'd find some really beneficial results in the neighborhood and help an awful lot of people that need it.
Dr. Fishman, you have a willing partner, and I look forward to going out to Blue Hills with you, and we can lay out this whole plan, and then also working with Steve Harris and others in North Hartford who are as equally committed as you are. I think this is a fantastic thing, and especially because we know under any circumstances that there's going to be infrastructure money that's going to be available and therefore jobs. And to your point, if you're not there in a position to be funneled in and to be prepped up beforehand, we have what we need, a little preemptive strike here in terms of the training, but also in applicants and who's going to be able to get there and get in the line so that you're prepared to get a job. So I'll get your contact information from Brad, and I look forward to going out, and we'll make a presentation before your association at Blue Hills.
Well, I want to say thank you, Congressman.
Thank you for everything you do. You're well known through your reputation and also through your great modesty and humility.
Well, thank you. You got to tell that to my wife, because I think she needs a little work on that.
Only if you'll tell mine the same thing.
All right, we got it.
Dr. Fitchman, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
God bless.
Take care.
Yep. You know, he's been a sponsor.
What a great guy.
Yeah. 26 years on this program.
Wow. So here's what we know. Again, crystallizing it. Something needs to be done.
Right.
The infrastructure is falling apart. This proposal would actually enable the current infrastructure to stay in place so that it's not uprooting people who are currently going through Hartford as it is.
Right.
And we need to have a plan in place, because apparently the federal government's going to say, all right, we're ready. We're ready to funnel money to you, but what's the plan? And it better be a good one.
Yes. And also, not only in having that plan, and again, let me get back to DOT and to the governor, because the governor said, look, I love bold visions and plans. He said, but we're in a struggle right now, and even with an 80-20 pay, that's 20%. That the state has to come up to. He says that, frankly, we don't have right now. I said, well, that's 20% no matter what we're proposing. But this Build America division of DOT, which is new, it's only 18 months old, but it also looks at connecting rail, bus, and becoming truly intermodal, bike paths, livable communities. And I know when you and Brad see what the DOT engineers have done, and they don't get enough credit for this. You give them a problem to solve, and all of a sudden they start saying, well, yeah, this is what we could do, and this is how the riverfront would look. Here's the area of land that could be recaptured. I think the whole public will get excited, and we can get behind it, especially if we're using the media to get out there by way of public forum. You reach far more people than I reach at a forum. You know, we're doing it almost hand-to-hand. Well, we've done over 25 of them so far.
We're out of time, but we'll have you back.
Oh,
we're
going to
do a
absolutely.
Lot more on this.
Look forward
Congressman,
to it.
Congressman, thanks for coming in.
And
you're
we'll
welcome.
Go on the road.
Yes,
on the road.
All right.